Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. They gave a dinner for him there, and Martha served, while Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with him. Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil made from genuine aromatic nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then Judas the Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who would betray him, said, "Why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and held the money bag and used to steal the contributions. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." The large crowd of the Jews found out that he was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus too, because many of the Jews were turning away and believing in Jesus because of him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Come to the climax of the entire Lenten season, and all the themes come to a focus. The Church gives us the four suffering servant psalms to accompany our journey these days. Today we get the first, Isaiah 42. Tomorrow, 2nd, 49. Wednesday, the 3rd, chapter 50. And then on Good Friday, we get chapters 52 and 53 in the first reading of the Passion Service. And they're all about what Jesus, the Anointed One, will do. Features how the Father sent him with the Spirit's anointing precisely to accomplish in this week the culmination of all his messianic work. So I think it's important for us always to begin with what's happening during these days from God's perspective, which Isaiah gives us, and then to see what our response should be, which is normally what we give in the gospel. God tells us through Isaiah, "Here is my servant whom I may uphold, my chosen one, the one on whom I've put my spirit." The Mashiach, the Christ, the Anointed One. This is who he is. What will he do? He shall bring forth justice to the nations. A little bit later he'll say, "I have called you for the victory of justice, and have grasped you by the hand so that you could carry out." He's going to right the relationship with God and right the relationship with others, precisely by not just giving us what we're due or giving God what he deserves, but by reestablishing love in whose image we were made. But Jesus is going to do this in a way different than the imagination, especially the Jews at the time. Even though Jesus sometimes screamed at the scribes and the Pharisees, even though he took out a whip and drove out the money changers, overturned their tables, expelled the animals from the temple area, he wasn't going to do it that way this week. He will bring forth justice by the nations. He will hold on to his Father's hand, anointed by the Spirit, as he will not cry out, will not shout, will not make his voice heard in the street. He'll go about so meekly that he won't even break a bruised reed or quench a smoldering wick until he establishes justice on the earth. And that last prepositional phrase is key. Not just justice for the Jews, justice on earth, that he will be a covenant of the people, the entire people, a light for the nations. And then, as Isaiah would return to in other messianic prophecy, open the eyes of the blind, truly to see God. Bring prisoners out of confinement so that in freedom they could receive that justice through love. And lead from the dungeon of darkness into the light all those for whom he had come. The Lord would indeed be their salvation in their light. How do we respond to that? How ought we to respond to that extraordinary gift that God is doing during these days? We need to remember that those words of Isaiah are not past tense from 2,700 years ago. Jesus, that Messiah, comes in order to liberate us, open our eyes, in order to do all of this with us. Just as the Father took him by the hand and led him and set him personally as a covenant for the nations, so Jesus wants to draw us by the hand so that we can enter into communion with him who is the new and eternal covenant. In response to this lavish love on the part of the Lord, the only worthy response is to give the Lord, as that great Lenten hymn says, our life, our love, our soul, our all. And so that's what we have. That's why the church gives us John 12 at the beginning of Holy Week. We see the incredible contrast between Mary of Bethany and Judas Iscariot. Jesus comes to Bethany, his place. It's on the way to the Mount of Olives. It would have been the way coming up from Jericho. So he would always have to pass it. It would be the last stop on the way into Jerusalem. And he had friends there. It's interesting, as you were paying attention yesterday, St. Mark tells us that this happened in Simon the Pharisee's house. Here it seems, unless Martha was a waitress serving in Simon the Pharisee's house, that it was in Martha, Mary, and Lazarus's house. Yesterday it says, anointed Jesus on the head, today on the feet. They don't have to be in contrast. They can easily be harmonized, but it's important to note some of the details. Jesus was reclining there at table in the presence of the one he had risen from the dead. And then Mary took this liter of genuine aromatic nard. This spikenard was made by crushing the root of a plant that grows only in China, Nepal, and India. Because it is so rare, it was really expensive. And you can think how much of a root you have to crush in order to get a liter of oil. Last year, as I was preparing to preach, I went onto Amazon. And for 5 milliliters of this, it was $43.50. It was a little cheaper this morning. As I went on Amazon, it was less than $40 this year. I don't know if they've grown a lot of this root in those three places, but nevertheless, if you want a liter, multiply it by 200. It's about $8,000 for a liter today. Here it said 300 days wages, which was a full year's salary, because you'd have 52 Sabbath days as well, so just about an entire year. Mary took that whole year and wasted it on Jesus because he was worth it. Judas, as Sheen said, who knew the price of everything but the value of nothing, objected that this should have been given over to other causes. But the reality is 30 pieces of silver was each silver shekel was 3 days' wages. The 30 pieces of silver he got, which was the price of a slave, was actually 90 days' wages. Mary here was wasting on the Lord's head and his feet 3 1/3 times what Judas was going to make from betraying Jesus. He was outraged. He was greedy. And that was influence in corroding the way that he looked at everything. Yesterday, as I was coming back from Kansas City, I was going through my emails on the plane. And I received an email from a spiritual directee of mine who was a woman religious. And she was talking about the homily I gave yesterday in Kansas City that she had listened to, in which I mentioned a little bit about the anointing. And she said what's always fascinated her about this was the using of her hair as a mop to wipe off the oil of Jesus. You know, for me, obviously, hair is overrated. But for a woman with hair, to consecrate that hair essentially as a mop for Jesus' feet, as a towel, was something that had already struck her. And with the hair chopped off, and now just the veil, in a sense, representing hair, she said that what she would always do, even though it's a custom in her community to change the veil for the Easter vigil, she always puts on the new veil for Good Friday, so that when she goes to venerate Jesus' feet at the veneration of the cross, she would be able to do that with that new hair, so to speak. But it's a sign that we're supposed to give our hands, our feet, our hair, from the bottom to the top, to the Lord, in response to Him, that He who is the Anointed One continually seeks to be anointed with the love that we give Him, not with root crushed oil from faraway places, but from what comes very close within. So how do we anoint the Lord? I'd propose a few things that we could do this week. First is what Mary of Bethany taught us in this other scene about how literally to sit at the feet of Jesus and anoint Him with our time. We all pray. We pray throughout the day, but it's likewise a real threat for us during Holy Week to be concerned about all the other details that need to occur. This is a week that's supposed to make us holy. If there's one week we pray well, it's got to be this one. And so we can't just go on routine. So I'd really urge you to make that time, even in the midst of your work, to sit and anoint Jesus with the oil of your time and even with your ear. Second, to anoint Jesus' feet means to follow in His footsteps, to go step by step along this way of the cross on which He takes us by the hand, not to be afraid. So there are going to be some challenges over the course of this week. The Lord gives us those challenges precisely so that we can enter into His passion, because God has anointed us through the sacraments precisely to share in that gift. And then third, we get ready for Holy Thursday and what He does for our feet. He gave us that as an example, so that just as He has done for us, we may do for others. And so it's this type of Christian service as we really seek not just to wash other people's feet, but to anoint them because they are sacred. For me, it's always been an important part of the scene that when the apostles were clueless, no matter how many times Jesus said that He was going to go up to Jerusalem, be betrayed by the chief priests, the elders, and the people, be tortured, crucified, and on the third day risen from the dead, that they just still didn't get that He would die. He couldn't have been more explicit, but they just didn't get it. But Mary of Bethany, when Jesus defended her, it was clear that she got the point. Leave her alone. She did this for my burial. She got it, that Jesus was going to Jerusalem as the Anointed One, precisely through that anointing, to fulfill His messianic plan. For us to be able to anoint Him well, we need to recognize that He's going to die for us and be buried, but that He will rise and that the light will shine in the middle of the darkness. So let's follow Him to death so that we can experience what Mary prepared him for, so that anointed in his risen body, he might allow us to live with him truly risen lives.